Glory to God. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We've been talking on courage for the last couple weeks. We see in Joshua chapter 1 that Joshua was filling Moses' shoes. I mean, those are big shoes to fill. And God literally said to him, "My servant Moses is dead. Now you take these people over." And I've got a few encouraging words for you, Joshua. Here we go. We see in verse 8, "Be strong and of good courage." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Be strong, hallelujah, and of good courage. So the courage is important in regards for us to possess and walk in our inheritance. Amen. The things that God has bought and purchased for us in Christ Jesus, our inheritance. They had to possess their land, so likewise we have to possess our land, right? Our inheritance doesn't come any different than theirs. They had to go possess and take it. We have to go possess and take it. The only difference is they use physical things to take a physical land. We use spiritual things. We take ours by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. So, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, because this is where we have taken off from. Remember we looked at David, how he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Abraham needed courage when God said to leave, so he needed courage to go. When God said arise and walk, he needed courage to believe, because God said, "I'm giving you everything you can see from the north, the south, east, and the west." And he had to believe God. It took courage to believe what God said, because it was bigger than him. And then Abraham armed himself and pursued in order to attack those kings and their armies that took his nephew. And so his 300 plus employees armed went, and they defeated these, I think there were four kings, defeated these kings that came together. And so he needed courage to attack. Remember blind Bartimaeus, they told him to be quiet. But he wanted to lay hold of something. And being quiet was not going to let him get a hold of what he wanted, because the person who possessed what he wanted was walking by. And every step he took, he was getting farther away. And they said, "Be quiet." And he raised his voice. It took courage to raise his voice over and over. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," until Jesus stopped and then called him. Blind Bartimaeus needed courage to get what he wanted. And then Paul shouted, "Be of good cheer," when they were in the middle of a hurricane type storm. And there was no hope left, the Bible said. But he said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The angel of the God of whose I am and whom I serve stood by me this night and said." And so it took courage. He took courage for himself, and then he passed on that encouragement to those other guys on the ship. There was over 200 people on that ship. So, courage. Hallelujah. So then we talked about the difference between courage and discouragement. And we talked about how we are going to take the stand of finding out what discouragement is, finding out how Israel got discouraged and didn't go in to possess their land. And it'll give us clues and cues in regards to what the devil will use in our life so we can combat those things, and so we can continue to then walk in courage and obtain our inheritance. So, courage, combating discouragement. So the first thing we found out, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We see in verse 21, it says, "Behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. For the Lord your God of your fathers has said unto you, fear not, neither be discouraged." And then we see I'm just going to go to New King James. Then we see in verse 26, it says, "Nevertheless." King James says, "Notwithstanding." But nevertheless, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents. And they said, God hates us. He's going to deliver us into the hand of the enemy, and they're going to destroy us. So the first thing we saw then, last week and the week before, then we touched on that the thing that discouraged them. Right, verse 28. "Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged or melted our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are greater and fortified up to the heavens. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there." And so they got discouraged. Their hearts melted because, number one, we talked about they were insecure because of a lack of knowing. They said, God hates us. He's going to deliver us to the hand of the enemy, and they're going to destroy us. And so we combated that with the fact that God is good. God loves me, and He will never forsake me. Amen. He said, I will not in any way forsake you. Loosen my grip or let go of you. He will not leave us without support. So He will never forsake us. Yeah. And so that's how we combated that insecurity about a lack of knowing, is because all of a sudden faith comes by hearing. We took a hold and found out God loves us. He is good. And He will never forsake us. So we finished last week. I finished with this phrase, faith brings courage, but fear brings discouragement. And so if we read verse 29, "Then Moses said to them, then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them." Do not be terrified or afraid of them. And they didn't listen to that encouragement either. So this is our second area that caused discouragement for them. Number one, they were insecure. Number two, fear. Fear kept them out of the promised land. See, it wasn't the giants that kept them out of the promised land. It wasn't the tall cities that kept them out of the promised land. And it wasn't the thought of the sons of the Anakim, the giants. It was fear. Fear kept them out. Fear kept them from even trying. Fear kept them from stepping out, because they sent the spies over so that they could find the way, the easiest way for this large crowd to pass over the river and to go in, and what cities we're going to face. What can we expect? Because God has given us the land. But they came back, and with an evil report, they discouraged the hearts of the brethren. And so fear kept them out. It kept them from moving. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2. Because we read what kept them out. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of taller people. They were afraid that the cities, because the walls are so tall. I mean, how are you going to jump over those walls? How can you push those walls? There are 25 of us can't just run and bang against it and knock it over. I mean, how do you do that? Three of us can't stand on our shoulders and do the circus acrobatic thing and jump over. I mean, how do you do that? We can't figure it out. And they let fear keep them out. But now I want to kind of flip the coin over now, and I want us to go into Jericho. I want us to go into the mind of the enemy. because this is the truth. They didn't know the truth because fear kept them from discovering the truth. Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. You know what? Let's start from the beginning. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in here at nighttime, or for the night, of the children of Israel to search out the land." And so the king sent, you know, so his secret service had recognized these two foreigners. These are guys from Israel. These from over there. They're here now. And if our intelligence is correct, they're over at Rahab's place. And so they went over to Rahab's place. Well, she found out about it, and she took the guys up on the roof and hid them amongst all the, had stalks of grain and stuff like that she was working with. And so she hid them up there. And she came back down, and she said, they were here, and they have left before the gates closed, and so you better hurry up because so you can catch up to them. You know, they've got a little bit of a head start on you. And so they took off and they went in that direction. And then she went upstairs, back on the roof, and she said this to them. Verse 6. But she had brought them up on the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them. In verse 9, she said to the men, the two spies, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. See, this is the truth. The enemy's heart had melted. They were discouraged. They had no courage. They had no strength in themselves. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. News has traveled this far about what your God did for you over there. And we are terrified. Our hearts have melted within us. Verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Can you see this is the truth? And yet, because the people were afraid, they were afraid of nothing. They were afraid for no reason. They were afraid of giants that were already afraid of them. They were afraid of tall, walled cities full of people that were terrified of them. I can see every day they must have had someone in shifts. They would just continue to peek over the wall. You know, they'd come up and they'd peek over the wall and they'd go, "Yeah, they're still there." You know, so news would travel. Yeah, they're still there. Every single day. For what? 40 years. There were children. Rahab, I'm sure she's not 60 years old. She's probably raised in this fear, this terror. She's one of the children raised. And now she's old enough. I mean, she's got her own place. I mean, she's running her own bad business. But she's recognizing something about who God is. And the cool thing is God is using her, and she's allowing herself to be used. Because I looked at this yesterday too. She's the only one that was saved. Her and her family, everyone that was in her house, was spared. She met a guy by the name of Salmon, and he married her. And gave birth to a little guy named Boaz. And Boaz met another foreigner by the name of Ruth, gave birth to her, married her, and then gave birth to a little guy named Obed. And then he had a little Jesse, and Jesse had a David. And so this Rahab, in her words, we are convinced, and she's talking from herself. I mean, she's talked with enough people, but she said, I know. Your God, the Lord God is the Almighty God, the God of heaven above and earth beneath. She's convinced that He's the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And God used her. But my point is here that the enemy, what was the truth? The enemy was already scared of them. All they had to go in there is almost go boo. And the enemy ran away. Matter of fact, that's basically what they did. They walked around the wall for 7 days, right? And then they went, boo, and the walls came down.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, real simple form. I mean, that's basically what happened. And yet, their fear held them back from the truth and held them back, kept them out of their promised land. Let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Similar testimony. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord God dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. They were terrified. Remember, one of the definitions of discouragement is spiritless. Disheartened and dismayed. They were spiritless. They became spineless. They were already terrified. And so, this is the truth. Now let's talk a little bit about fear, because this is the thing that kept them out. We recognize the truth. We found out the truth. I mean, we've got 20/20 vision. We can go back and see, right? But in our own lives, we need to understand this. Just because we don't understand something and fear is trying to come against us, that is not necessarily, that's not the truth. That's not the way it is. Fear is just a picture that the devil is placing in our mind to keep us from moving forward. That's why it's fear. It's not real. It's a picture trying to keep us from moving forward. He's trying to make us expect the worst. And they expected the worst. Right? They expected the worst. And because of that, they didn't move forward. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Now, verse 1 says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and a people more than you, be not afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, which brought you out of the land. And it shall be, verse 2, that when you come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And the priest will say this, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint with fear, or faint and fear no more, or faint and fear not. And do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people and say, is anyone, just built a house? Let him go return home. If anyone has built a house and has not dedicated it, let him go home and return to it, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Okay, so that was the premise here. Anyone just build a house not dedicated? Okay, you go home. dedicate your house and enjoy your house. Is there anyone who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of the fruit yet? Okay, you go home and enjoy the fruit of your vineyard, your crops. And then verse 7, and this is there anyone that's engaged, getting married? Okay, you go home so you can get married. Verse 8, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Is there anyone afraid and discouraged? You go home. You go unto your house. Let him go and return to his house, lest his brethren, his companions' heart faint as well as his heart. Fear is contagious. Fear is contagious. You know, so all the other things, you know, if you've bought a property, if you planted a crop and, you know, you're engaged and getting married, you guys go home. But now, is there anybody afraid and discouraged? Because if there's anyone afraid and discouraged, we do not want you contaminating the rest of the guys. You go home. It's time for you to go home. You're not helping the battle. You're not helping us gain the victory. The Lord is with us, and we put our trust in Him. We will gain the victory. He will cause us to win and overcome. But your discouragement will cause fear to spread out through. And if there is a full fear, we will not be able to obtain the victory that God has already given to us. God is with us, but we will not win because we won't be acting like He's with us. See, David acted like God was with him, and he killed Goliath. Because he had his testimony. Well, God was with me then, and he was with me then, and he'll be with me now. Get the same result this time. But if there was fear and discouragement in the camp, it would begin to contaminate the rest of the guys. And as they were contaminated, it would cause them to back off from what they believed. It would discourage the courageous. Go home, he said. Go home. Fear is contagious. Well, we know 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know, I mean, I know as kids, you go around the campfire and you got your hot dogs and you're roasting your marshmallows and you tell scary stories. And the scary stories are not necessarily as scary during the daytime. Because you can look around and see, yeah, there's no boogeyman in the trees. And you can see everything. It's not a big deal. But you get in the dark and all of a sudden, the spirit of fear can get on and play with your mind. Because you can't see anything. There's this bright light here and everything else is dark. And because the light's moving, everything else is moving. And so it's a wonderful place for the spirit of fear to just mess with kids. And then they think it's funny. And so we think we can just be a dealer of fear, you know. We don't deal drugs and we don't deal fear. We need to be faith dealers. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And if He's not given it to us, then we ought not to receive it. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 4 in the Amplified. 1 John 4 in the Amplified. Because we want to find out, John, by the Spirit of God, talks about fear also. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For terror, for fear, brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into God's complete perfection. Perfect love casts out fear. It turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. Love does that. Perfect love. And so as we have a revelation of perfect love, And specifically, God's love is perfect love. Amen? It is perfect. He loves us when we're doing good. He loves us when we're doing bad. He loves us. That's just the way He is. Perfect love. And that love, as we get a revelation of that love and are persuaded of that love, it will annihilate, it will expel, it will, say, kick out, it will turn out, it will turn fear out of doors. It'll kick it out. Boom, you know, kick it out the door. It'll expel every trace of terror. Because fear has with it, King James says, torment. Fear has torment. The Amplified says, it has the thought of punishment. Fear has torment. It's not good thoughts. He brings us the picture of the worst expectation. It has torment. It has the thought of punishment. Yes, yet perfect love casts out fear. And so that's how we combat fear. That's our combat. That's our weapon in regards to combating. That's our strategy in regards to combating fear. When fear comes against us to discourage us, we allow the love of God. We allow love to expel and to kick that fear out so we can continue to move forward. We move forward in His love. We move forward as if we are encapsulated and covered and protected by His love. We are surrounded by His favor. We're surrounded by His grace. We're surrounded by His love. We are walking in His protection, in His safety. We're being led by the Spirit. We're taking steps in line with as what He says. And as we are walking, we're expecting that He is with us. And if He's with us, we're guaranteed the victory. Amen? We're not going alone. We're going with Him. And with Him, all things are possible. With Him. If we're going with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. So, the way we combat it is through this perfect love. And this perfect love, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles we'll just touch on a couple more scriptures here. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Hallelujah. Verses, starting in verse 6. And He set captains of war over the people and gathered them together. This is Hezekiah, and he had heard that Sennacherib was coming against him. And so they put together, they came up with some strategies. They rebuilt up areas of the wall around the city. They fortified the place. They made weapons and shields in abundance. And then He set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to Him in the street of the gate of the city. And He spoke comfortably to them. Now, my cross-reference for the word spoke comfortably says He spoke to their heart. He spoke to their heart. And again, we were talking this morning, one of John Maxwell's laws of leadership, one of the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, is the law of connection. And the law of connection says that you first touch someone's heart before you ask for their hand. And so they're about to go to battle. He's about to ask them for their lives. He's not standing up and saying, "Do the best you can, you guys." No, He stood up first and foremost, and He touched their heart before He asked for their hand. And He said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Syria, nor for all the multitude or the vast army, the NIV says, that is with them, for there be more with us than be with them. There be more. There's a greater power, the NIV says, a greater power with us than with them. With him is an army of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The people rested themselves. My cross-reference for the word rested says they leaned and they trusted. They leaned on his word. They leaned on it. You know what it means to lean on something? You're putting your confidence in it. If you've got a cane, or if leaning on this table, you know, you lean against the wall. If you're leaning on something, you're expecting it to hold you. They leaned on the words of the king, and they trusted those words, and they trusted in their God that was going with them. They leaned on who they served. They leaned on serving their God and serving their king. They leaned. The Bible says they rested. Can you see that? They leaned and they trusted. All of a sudden, he talked to their hearts. They took a big breath. That's right. That's right. Our eyes are not on the enemy and the vast army. Our eyes are on the God. There is a greater power with us. Amen. He helped refocus their attention. He spoke comfortably to them. He spoke to their heart. And in speaking to their heart, they received the words. They rested. They leaned and they trusted on the words of God and of the king. And they went out and they won the battle. Amen? So here we see how we combat. We combat fear. This is how he combated fear. He spoke words comfortably to them. He talked to their heart about the love of God. God loves us. He's going with us. Amen? Can you see that? There's a greater power with us than with them. There's more that be with us. How is that possible? It's just the way it is. The hosts of heaven, the heavenly hosts. Amen? Our God, the Lord our God, will help us because he loves us. And it ran any temptation of fear and discouragement off. They rested. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's go back a few chapters. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is another king, King Jehoshaphat. Another time when the enemy was coming against Israel. And he fell on his face, proclaimed a fast, spending their time with the Lord, they're fasting. And the Spirit of the Lord said in verse 14, "Then upon Jehaziel, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." Verse 15, "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed or discouraged by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Hallelujah. He's encouraging them again where to focus their attention. Put your trust in the Lord. Be not afraid. Love combats fear. Be not afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Go ye down tomorrow against them. Verse 16, verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So here is the encouragement, not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, but to trust in the love of God. He's taking care of them. Verse 21. And when he had consulted, Jehoshaphat consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. My cross-reference says that they smote one another. So these three armies came together, you know, two of them fighting back-to-back against their other guys that they came out with, and all of a sudden, you know, I really don't like you. And so they killed them, and then these two guys back-to-back, all of a sudden they turned face-to-face, and I don't really don't like you either. And so they all killed one another. As they just refused to be afraid and discouraged, and they began to praise God and say, for the Lord is good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah. The Lord loves us. And as they stood still and sang praises to God, the Lord slaughtered, caused the enemy to slaughter themselves. And the Bible says they spent 3 days gathering the spoil. Gathering the spoil. The wealth and the riches and the abundance that the three armies brought with them. Hallelujah. So, they began to sing him praise because he was going to fight for them. So this is an expression of their trust in his love. Can you see that? This is an act of faith. You don't send singers out in front of your military to sing. You know, you don't send the band. No, the band's at home playing when you come home with your victory, and they're going, ooh, there's a celebration. The band plays. The band doesn't go out to war. The band stays home. They keep everyone cheered up, and then they celebrate when you come back with a victory. But in this case, the band went ahead. It's an act of faith, of trust. Who do we trust? We trust the Lord. And they stood still. They didn't even, the Bible says, set yourself, stand and see. So they weren't sneaking behind trees and digging holes and hiding in holes. And no, they stood out there in plain sight and they began to sing because they trusted God. Amen. We're not afraid. We're not discouraged. And they began to lift their voice and declare who their trust and their confidence is. We trust He loves us and He's taking care of us. And the Lord fought the battle for them. Hallelujah. So he said, this is what I want you to do. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to finish here and then pick up next week because this is going to kind of lead us into our next point, which is going to take a while, which is exciting. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 20. Joshua is training his young men. These guys have never been in battle. They've been since they were 20. You know, the older generation had to come and go. They disappeared. This younger generation, they've been living in the camp, hanging out by the river for 40 years. Right? They had no fights out there. And so, in this case, he's teaching and training them. Joshua chapter 10. Well, if I would go to chapter 10, that would help. Joshua chapter 10. Starting in verse 24. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings. Okay, so those kings. So there are Joshua and his men went and they attacked. Five kings ran into a cave. And it was told them. So he said, roll a stone over the mouth of the cave. So they closed the cave off. So these five kings are stuck in there. They figured they would escape, but he rolled the stone over. And then they continued on. They killed off everyone, ran off everyone, and then they returned back. Five kings are in the cave. And now Joshua says, verse 22, open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings to me out of the cave. And they did so. Verse 24, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near. Come here. Come here. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and they put their feet on the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed or discouraged. Be strong and of good courage, for this shall the Lord do to all your enemies whom you fight. Brought these five kings out and got them to lay down, bow down. And then he called his captains. He said, come here. You are leading your men. I want you to have this image in your mind. Put your feet on their neck. This is the image I want you to see. The Lord is going to do this to every one of our enemies that you come against. Day after day, week after week, as we are possessing our land, God is going to cause this to happen every single time. I want this picture to be in your mind of you putting your foot on the neck of the kings, those ruling and reigning, as you possess the land He's given you. He's teaching them to be victorious, not just to follow Him. We can win, put our trust in God, but now I'm wanting you to now take this image and transfer this to the people you are leading. You are leaders. You are captains. You are men who have influence over your regiment, over your group of people. I want you to see this. I want you to get this on the inside. I want you to experience putting your foot on their neck, putting the enemy under your feet. And now I want you to go, and I want you to help your men experience this same thing. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God loves us. Because He loves us, He causes us to win. Because He causes us to win, the enemy is under our feet. Go possess the land. He's going to protect and take care of us. Amen? So likewise, God has done the same thing for us. He's given us the victory. He wants us to see the enemy under our feet. Amen? Wherever we go, whatever we do, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God loves me. He loves you. His love will cast out. If you will allow, God loves me. You allow that. His love will drive out the fear, and it will allow you to win in every situation and circumstance that you face. We can overcome because we are overcomers in Christ. Amen. He loves us. He's taking care of us. Glory to God. Now, next week, we're going to get into a scripture that actually talks about us and the enemy's neck. There is New Testament scripture that has the same thing for us. We will get there next week. But I want you to see right now, this is what God has for us. Amen. We do not have to be afraid. We do not have to be discouraged. We can stand up in the face of discouraging situations and be courageous. Be full of faith, full of cheer, full of excitement, full of confidence. Amen. Because God loves us. And because He loves us, and He said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to have. This is what I want you to enjoy. Then let's go after it. Nothing can stand in our way. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let's all stand up.